radio can be in your face with passion.
Paralyzes the entire nervous system.
Like us on Facebook and continue the conversation.
I'll do it.
98.5, the Sports Hub. In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If for some reason you've been listening to a show that ignores Bruins fans and says no one wants to hear about hockey, too bad. Because here's what you've been missing.
Marchand turns the net, has a shot, and scores! 10 times in his career, Marchand has plunged the dagger into an opponent's heart in overtime.
And go Bruins!
Here's David Krejci, goes around Jordan Staal, he's got Heinen in middle, Heinen scores! Oh my goodness, the cardiac kids are doing it again!
For Pastrnak.
Brian Tinello's first goal as a Bruin.
Never thought we'd make it all the way.
Saved by Rask. Another save by Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask putting on a clinic here. Defense scores! Tuukka Rask saves the day in overtime to win it for Boston.
Like to win with what Boston fans appreciate. Hard work, blue collar, and a certain level of pace and skill.
And the horn will sound. The tempers are still flaring. But when you look at the standings tomorrow, the team at the top of the Eastern Conference, the top of the Atlantic Division, will read Boston Bruins.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bruins a big victory last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Very physical game.
Had everything you want.
Yep. All right. So Joe Haggerty, I've made the statement a couple times today that this reminds me of a game in February of 2011 against Dallas. The team had been, sort of mediocre. I know that's not the case this year. But that was the game where there was the fight with Ott, there was a fight with Avery, and that seemed to pull the team together. Do you believe this is that kind of night? I know they've played well, but is this a night that makes you feel even better about their chances of making a long run in the playoffs?
Well, I already had them winning the cup a few weeks ago when I was on that road trip with them, and I saw them come back and score 5 goals. In the third period against Carolina and shut out this Tampa team without Chara, without McAvoy, without Bergeron in their own building. So I was already firmly convinced, but I think last night was a statement game on a number of different levels. It was a statement to the Tampa Bay Lightning that they don't have a shot of beating the Bruins if they meet each other in the playoffs. It's a bad matchup for Tampa. I think losing to Boston twice without their two best defensemen and missing a bunch of players, that's going to deal a huge psychological blow to Tampa Bay if they do indeed meet in the postseason at some point. I think it was also a statement game to the Bruins themselves that they're ready for the playoffs. They're ready for it to start right now. Forget about, the remaining 6 games of the season, and obviously they'll be getting some healthy guys back. And I think it was also a statement to the rest of the Eastern Conference that the Bruins are the big dog in the East. They've been the NHL's best team for the last 4 months. They've certainly been the best team in the East for the last 4 months, despite all adversity that's been thrown at them. And I think they're making a statement to everybody else that they're going to meet, that it's going to be extremely difficult to beat them in the postseason. And they just continue to win and play well and do a lot of good things that have people excited around here, and rightfully so.
All right. We're pretty much familiar with what's going on with all the injuries, and players have been skating, and you know they'll be back. The one player we don't know about is Nash. What are you hearing about him?
Yeah, I think what everybody else is hearing as far as what's going on with him, the assumption has been, and kind of putting the pieces together, that it's been a concussion. I think that makes a lot of sense. That has not been confirmed to me, but you know, that seems to be what it is. The fact that he was working out and at the facility yesterday, I think, is a very positive sign, encouraging. And, you know, I'll continue to say what I've said for the last few weeks. Everything that I've heard from the Bruins has been optimistic that they're going to have their full team to start the playoffs. And they still have 6 games to go. They still have a couple of weeks until the playoffs start for Nash to get right. And if not at the start, you know, towards the beginning, I don't think there's a doom and gloom feeling with Nash, nor do I think there's been one. You know, but they're going to feel obviously a lot better when he gets on the ice, and that's when it speeds up. The problem with concussions is you don't know if it's going to be tomorrow when he feels better. You don't know if it's going to be a week or a couple of weeks. But like I said, the fact that he's working out now and that he's at the facility, that's a sign that he's starting to feel better, which is good.
Should the ref that held back Vasilevsky last night be ejected forever and fired from his job because he denied us all a goalie fight?
That's what we all wanted.
That is an absolute strike against the infotainment business that we're all in. And what is he thinking? That NHL's about entertainment. You know, everybody loves goalie fights.
They always fight at center ice.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like a main event. They're all wearing equipment. Nothing ever happens. Nobody, you know, rarely does somebody ever get hurt. And it's something you laugh at and have fun with. They were primed and ready for a goalie fight. It would have been great to see, but, you know, it wasn't meant to be. The refs don't want fighting. The league doesn't want fighting anymore. And clearly that means they're not going to want goalie fighting. I say, screw you, NHL. We want to see goalie
fighting. But that's on Rask as much as anything. Rask has got to take that challenge.
Hey, he was a little busy.
Skate out to meet him, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what we missed out on.
You can't get Vasilevsky.
Well, hide in your crease, skate out for it.
No,
yeah.
I've never. Have you ever seen a goalie fight that was
like a decent fight?
No. I have. The Osgood Watt fight. But
Hextall had some good ones too.
Well, Hextall's a maniac, and so is his brother Dennis. Oh, that was a scary house to go to growing up. Dennis Hextall had 2 daughters. Oh boy, he had like scars all over his face. He was a maniac. But have you ever seen a goalie fight that wasn't around center ice? It's very rare a goaltender will just skate on down and start fighting the other goaltender in the crease.
No, you usually don't see that. You see them meet at center ice, and usually it's a part of, you know, a line brawl from both teams where everybody's brawling. They're kind of looking at each other and sort of nodding, and they both go for it and, you know, smash into each other at center ice. This is a little different where, you know, Tuukka said, forget this. I'm not going to fight your goalie. I want to fight one of your positional players that's, you know, bumping up against me in the crease. And, I think there was a concerted effort between the Bruins as a team last night that they wanted to make a statement.
Oh, sure.
The Tampa Bay Lightning, and they wanted to push them around, and they know they have the edge against them, and they want to do it even more. And some players that in the past you could maybe you could accuse them of, you know, not being as engaged in the playoffs or not being ready to go at times, I think they wanted to show it, whether it was Tuukka Rask going after Corey Konecker, whether it was David Pastrnak, who at times struggled in the playoffs last year in his first experience. You know, sticking up for Patrice Bergeron, David Backes taking on the entire Tampa Bay bench and throwing Lightning players over the bench. That was as daunting and as big a statement as you're going to see a team make right before the playoffs. It was interesting to watch.
Okay, this is random, but with everything that's going on, there was one thing I was wondering during the game. Out of nowhere, Nola Chari just like slides and busts his shoulder on the boards last night. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? I mean, that's something that, you know, a normal human being, not a hockey player, would immediately not be able to move his arm or use it. I take it he's completely fine. And after that, did you see him call Kucherov a effing P-word?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone saw that. Yeah.
That's a dirty play when a guy's going full speed like that and you do something where, you know, you help him kind of take him out where he slams into the boards like that. So it's a cheap move, and it's, you know, it's something that nobody should do. But the Bruins were animated, whether it was Nola Chari or whether it was Brad Marchand at the end of the game after scoring the empty net goal. He was like the boxing referee giving the knockout sign and then saying it's over and yelling that at the Tampa Bay Lightning right at the end of the game. I mean, they were fully into that game last night. I think that gives you a sneak preview of how completely awesome the playoff run is going to be for this team, just as far from an entertainment value. This team's fun to watch, and when they're locked in like that and they're in their playoff mode, I think they're going to be fun to watch on a nightly basis.
Ryan Donato had a goal taken away from him last night. Who knows if that was Pasternak's goal, Bergeron's goal, Donato's goal, but he's been in the middle of things since he got here. But I look at his ice time last night, second lowest among all forwards, actually second lowest among everyone.
Yeah, it's gone down every game.
And I wonder if this guy is going to be on the postseason roster when Rick Nash gets healthy.
I think he will be, just for the explosive offense factor and just for the power play and some of the other stuff that he can do. I mean, when you watch him out there on that first power play unit with David Pasternak and Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand and Torrey Krug, you're talking about every one of those guys being a shooter and being extremely dangerous. And there have been moments where, you know, Donato moves around a little bit, but there are points where you'll see Pasternak camped on the left dot and Donato on the right dot, just ready and waiting for one-timers to fire away. And, you know, given how good the rest of the players are on that power play and those two, how lethal they are when they get their shot going, I don't know how you're going to stop that if you're another team. I mean, they scored 4 seconds into that power play last night. When they last played Tampa in Tampa, they scored 2 power play goals in a grand total of 23 seconds. That is absolute gut punch stuff, special teams wise, to another team. And, you know, maybe they've seen something with the penalty kill that they can go after right away, and they've exploited it, and credit the coaching staff for that. But, you know, I think just for his value alone on the power play and how good he is offensively and the fact that he's a pretty hard-nosed kid, I think you will see him in the lineup. It's just a matter of who's going to come out and how it's going to work. And do you mess with the fourth line at all that's been so good? You know, you saw Noel Achari center the fourth line last night. You may see that in the playoffs as well. So Bruce Cassidy has a lot of options, but given the firepower that Donato could give you offensively, I would go with him in the postseason.
All right. Well, Joe Haggerty, it certainly should be fun, and we'll talk to you throughout the playoff run.
Looking forward to it, Freddie T. I think we'll get a long one in front of us, buddy.
I hope your words to God's ears. Thank you so much for the time.
You got it.
All right. Here is the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Neighborhood Health Plan. When we come back, Dan Roach, despite what happened, it is an opening day situation. And also Dick Flavin with more poetry.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, it's great to have with us a Red Sox poet laureate. Dick Flavin, great to see you, Dick.
Good to be aboard. Good to be aboard.
We understand that you have a brand new poem.
I have an opening day poem. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
The long snowbound winter casts a dark pall till one day an umpire hollers play ball. Then skies start to brighten. Blue displaces gray. Baseball springs eternal. It's opening day. The birds start to sing. The trees are in bloom. The umpire's dusting home plate with his broom. It's a brand new beginning, something we all cheer. It's baseball's way of Happy New Year. And then there's another line in there. And baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year. And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, not very good. Not very good.
I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. Happy.
95 The Sports Hub, we are Dutcher and Rich.
I can listen to that Dick Flavin clip every day. He had one job that day. Literally one job that offseason. All offseason, you know that on opening day, you're going to have to go in there and recite your poem. And the man got in there and just completely botched it. Just messed it up. And the best is that he was stuck in the booth for like another 3 minutes after that. Like, what do you do if you can't do the poem? So you write books about the Red Sox? Yeah. Pretty much. All right. So
No, is he going to do it this year? He didn't do it last year.
I thought there was something last year. I thought Flavin did do something.
No, Flavin didn't do a lot last year at all.
Well, he's been going around town doing all sorts of readings of his, what's it called, Red Sox Rhymes? Is that what it was? He made a book of it and has been selling it everywhere. Every time someone sees one on the discount shelf, they always send us a clip of it. But I don't know if you knew this. He had a book on tape. He actually recorded the entire thing and put it up on Audible. And you can get the audio version of Dick Flavin reading his poems. And he does it like poems about many of his favorite people involved with the Red Sox, including one John Henry.
Ode to John Henry, 2005. We all have dark secrets that nobody knows. This is my confession. Are you ready? Here it goes. I've killed John Henry, the son of a bitch.
And then it ends. And that's his story.
That very dark. That was when he was in Bauhaus.
That's right.
He was the original singer of Joy Division.
Wow. Right. That was when he, before he like cut off his ear or whatever.
He was Van Gogh?
Yeah, he's like, it's very artistic, but he was suffering at the same time.
I like the play on words, son of a pitch.
Yeah, son of a pitch. Because even then he couldn't swear. He's a big fan of Larry Lucchino as well.
A Hymn to Larry, 2006. Clown. He simply disgusted us all by peeing his pants and unleashed a mighty blast. These things are upsetting. They leave quite a scar. Larry, you scoundrel, you sneak. Is that why, you rascal, you gave me the shaft? You're full of Larry.
I don't know why.
Where did you get pee?
I don't know why he's so angry. It was probably a word that was like, you know,
okay.
Happy.
I was wondering where you got pee.
Maybe just take the second syllable off of a word.
Right.
You know, maybe that's how it worked. But Dick Flavin is a very happy man. He's, you know.
Opening day, 2013. Baseball springs eternal. It's opening day. The feds might show up and take me away. The birds begin singing, the trees start to bloom. The setbacks will surface, the losses, the gloom. Things couldn't get much worse.
Okay.
So it's...
He's having trouble with the law.
Depressing Flavin.
Jesus.
He kind of started off in a good mood.
Okay. And... By the way, none of this is as bad as the poem he did for real.
Depressing Flavin.
Yeah.
Hey, it's opening day. Soon I just want it to all go away.
It is dark Flavin. Ever since he messed up that poem, that's things right. Have not been the same. Don't look at me. I'm hideous. Right. The light. Turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Roach, you're excited. You're out there. You couldn't sleep last night. Very exciting.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You guys ready?
Appreciate it.
All right, well, you listen. Are we ready for the poem?
Yeah.
You just want to get right to it. You don't want to build it up too much.
Well, no. It's you put a lot of pressure on me. You gave me like an hour to get it done, and here we go, right?
All right, you ready? Okay, so this is every year you give us something to get excited about, a opening day poem. Take it away, Dan Roach.
All right, here we go, boys. How many days since November? I can't remember. But I do know today is that day. Opening day. With great things on the way. The winter has gone on too long. It's just felt wrong. Like a sad, sad song. It's time for summer. Time to call Tony Maz's number. Where he takes callers 1 and 2. Dumb and dumber. It's time to see what Alex Cora can do over 162. Sox fans were afraid of another first-round loss, but with AC as boss, it won't be a coin toss. It'll be like 13, 04, and 07, where after Game 7, Fenway will be heaven. With Price, Porcello, and Sale, these pitchers won't fail, and the bullpen will be strong. They will do no wrong, because with Kimbrel as closer, the game will be over. The lineup will hit. It will be special to see, especially with Betts, Benny Hanley, and the new man, J.D. Bogey bounces back while young Devers will attack. And wait till Petey comes through, because he's way overdue. And how about the D? It'll be great every day with a gold glover like JBJ leading the way. But the biggest thing I say is chemistry must lead the way. Because if the boys get along, they'll be singing that song. Yes, as it gets hotter and hotter, you'll hear dirty water. Even though outside it's not nice weather, nothing can compare to when I smell that leather. Out on the field, the grass, dirt, and clay. We're finally here, boys. It's opening day. Yes, I can't wait till today when they all yell, play ball. But the only shame of it all will be in a dome. Oh, boy, I'd much rather be home. Because nothing says opening day like friendly Fenway. Happy opening day, boys. Crack-a-lackin'.
All right. I like that you said you smell the leather at the field rather than under your dominatrix's hand.
Whew.
Save that.
Ah, the smell of the leather, as I am humiliated. You please use the whip. I'm so intimidated.
The Dan Roach dominatrix foam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Punish me all you want. I can't punish me all you want. Make me feel like a turd. Please just stop when I say the safe word.
Ouch.
You could do that, Dan.
Oh, I'll call you back.
Oh, baseball puts me in a good mood, but not as good as I feel when I'm rolling in dog food. It's dominated Dan Roach.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So, congratulations. Congratulations to you. Legitimately, do you think this team, how do you think they stack up against the Yankees?
Time will tell. I think the Yankees, Greg Bird's already hurt, so, you know, we'll see. Better pitching on the Red Sox side if they're healthy. So I think, I just hope, here's what I hope. I hope it goes all summer long. I hope it goes to the very end, those two teams. It'd be great.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich. What have we not gotten to today?
By the way, this is the once again the Czarface and MF Doom album that comes out today. Czarface meets Metalface. This one is called Bomb Throne. Our good friend Esoteric, who ended up beating Dan Roach. Yeah, beat Dan Roach in 98 Mile last year.
He did.
It was close, but he did beat him. Yes, he did end up going on. It was very, very close, and Dan Roach was absolutely crushed. So he beat the champion.
By the way, enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. All right, there you go. There's a McDoom. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com. I want to know where my special vinyl is. Esoteric.
Yeah, we usually get a cool one. That would be.
Well, I want to know where it is.
I don't need a vinyl. I don't have a record player. But
well, you got to get with the hipster.
That I do need to. I did read something yesterday that physical copies of music outsold digital copies of music last year. I think it's because so many people stream now. So if you're going to be like, if you're going to do something like iTunes, like less people are buying it online and they're streaming it. So for the first time in forever, records and CDs, because vinyl's become a thing, has outsold the actual sale of the digital copies. I think I read that the other day.
That does, seems very plausible.
It does. It
given
does.
That, I mean, why would you buy a song when it could be on Spotify unless you're about to fly?
Well, I heard iTunes. Well, you can download if you have Spotify. You can download it.
Not all of them.
I think almost all of them you can. I've never had a problem downloading any of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there might be like new albums or something that might be an issue with. But this is a great story. So, first of all, is hockey the only sport, pro sport, with the potential that someone not on the roster can come out of the stands and actually play in a game? I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that, goaltender in hockey is the one.
One weird position in the one sport where you could literally be watching the game in the stands and then end up playing in that game.
Yeah, because if you run out of pitching in Major League Baseball, you put a position player in there.
And they pitch.
Right. I mean, there's guys, Jose Oquendo, who played all nine positions on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would imagine if you were asking me off the top of my head, hockey goalie is the one guy you can just take a guy out of the stands and put him in.
Okay, so a pretty cool thing happened last night in Chicago with the Blackhawks. Now, if you're not aware of this, there is a group, like a core of these people who don't play in the NHL, but they play like in these rec leagues that practice sometimes with the team, who are basically on emergency basis ready to go to play goalie. Now, what happens most of the time is they're either on the ninth floor just kind of watching the game, or they just have tickets the game when they have him there.
Remember when the guy from the Bruins got his cup shattered?
Yeah, I do remember that.
In the preseason.
Oh, well, yeah, because Char hit a slap, but that was in a practice. Like, Char just nailed him right in the nuts.
Yeah, it was in practice, and the guy was there. He was like a fireman.
Yeah.
But I think he had the ability to be an emergency goalie, and Char just said, here, I'm going to shoot this thinking and break what's protecting your balls.
So Scott Foster, who's a 36-year-old accountant, hasn't played in any hockey game that was worth anything in about 10 years when he played for Western Michigan University in 2005. He plays in like an amateur league. Well, he's one of those guys. And apparently after the Blackhawks starting goalie ended up getting sick, they signed him to this deal where he would, you know, be a backup just in case. And sure enough, the backup ends up getting injured during the game. So they throw in Scott Foster. Scott Foster goes into the game and is absolute nails.
And look at Scott Foster. He comes in and makes seven stops in a row to preserve a victory. A victory that will go to Colin Delia. Delia coming on as the starter tonight in his first ever NHL game. Look at the euphoria for this kid that nobody knew before tonight.
Yeah, the team just runs up to him and clobbers him, and I watched the highlights of his saves. They were not easy saves. The guy did a pretty damn good job. Once again, somebody who was signed to this contract an hour before the game, they called him in and said, listen, you're going to be a backup today because, you know, our starter is sick, so come on down here. And sure enough, at a point in the game, he had to put the helmet on. Listen, if Jean-Claude Van Damme can do it in sudden death, then we all know that a guy who actually played hockey at one point could end up pulling it off. But good for him. That is a very, very cool story. That hasn't happened with the Bruins here that I can remember as of late.
No, but they had Senza.
Bob Senza, yes, yeah, the goaltender coach. Senza.
Have to be a backup one day.
I've seen him in pads before, right? Like every once in a while.
But he played in the
NHL. I was just going to say, Senzo was a starting goaltender in the league at one point.
I'm very well aware of that smartass.
Mm-hmm. Well, this kind of sucks for Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, everything sucks for Isaiah Thomas.
But this part of it, you got to feel bad for him. Listen, he ran his mouth and he kind of came across as a jackass and the Brinks truck thing and stuff like that. But this is kind of, this sucks. Isaiah Thomas is going to have to undergo surgery on his hip, the thing that he had been dealing with at the end of last year when he was with the Celtics. He's going to be gone for 4 months, and any hopes of that Brinks truck has pretty much gone into the toilet, unless he can come back next year on a one-year basis with the team.
That's all he's looking at. And I read Chris Mannix wrote a long piece about this. Not only is Isaiah at best going to get a one-year contract next year, because with that hip problem, if I'm an NBA team, I give him a one-year show-me deal. That you know, you show me you're healthy, and we'll talk at the end of it. There are only about a handful of teams that want him, that can afford him.
Well, they're saying that the Lakers might consider bringing him back.
Lakers are all about it. I mean, the Lakers have max cap space. They want to get LeBron and Paul George in, and so they're not going to have a lot of money left over. They want this guy on the cheap. And Isaiah may take that deal.
Here's why this sucks, is because when he played for the Celtics during that season, last season, it was one of the more exciting, he was one of the more exciting players I've watched in basketball. I mean, that run that he went on where he was Mr. Fourth Quarter and how he was averaging as many points as Larry Bird there for a couple of months. I mean, it was astounding what he was able to pull off. And then, of course, we all know the personal things that he fought through in the playoffs. But I saw Jason Whitlock yesterday running his mouth. And I don't even think I have the clip. And I don't even think it's worth playing it. But he thinks that the Celtics ruined his career. And for having, and it wasn't, there are questions with that medical staff. And we knew that. As a matter of fact, who is their longtime doctor that they ended up firing this year that thought like had a job for life?
Yeah, I forgot.
Ed Lassert?
Yeah, Ed Lassert.
Is that it?
He's a trainer. Yes, Ed Lassert.
So, and a lot of the questions, I believe, came from the handling of Isaiah Thomas and how it all went down. So, I mean, maybe there is a case to be made that because of their poor handling of his injury, that maybe it did ruin his career.
They might have. Medically, you're probably right. But overall, even if he was Isaiah of old, he only fits in a certain kind of offense, one that lets him take 25 shots a game. I mean, there aren't many teams that have guys like, you know what? We're getting a guy out of the way. We need a guy to come in and take 25 shots a game.
Yeah.
How many teams are like that?
And with his size, it was bound to happen.
He needs the basketball to be successful. Right. He's not one of those off-ball spot-up shooters. No. He needs one of those types of offenses.
And he needs to get in the lane and get bounced around.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shame, but there are about... I don't know, 100 million things that are worse than what happened to Isaiah Thomas in the world.
No, I know, but
my point is, I don't feel particularly sorry for him.
Well, I think I just selfishly wish I could see that guy play again at the level that he played. Like, that was fun to watch. And by the way, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, and Grant Hill will be headlining the 2018 Hall of Fame class.
I have an update to that.
Is Ray Allen on that?
Yes, indeed.
He's in?
Well, Ray Allen spoke to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe apparently this morning, and Gary just tweeted this out. He will be in San Antonio this weekend. Now, San Antonio is where the Final Four is. They announced a Hall of Fame class there. And you mentioned Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Grant Hill are in. He would not reveal to the Globe whether or not he's in, but says he has, quote, a great shot, unquote. So
who else is on the
fence?
That's
a delicious wordplay.
It is Viss.
Yes.
Very possible that Ray Allen will be elected to the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Viss, ruling in glass.
So John Cena has been doing the big press tour for his new movie Blockers, which I hear is excellent. It's about these three girls in high school who make this pact to, I think it's to finally break the virginity, and each one of the parents finds out, and their whole job on prom night is to stop it from happening. But the reviews are apparently unbelievable. I think it's got like 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. But Cena's trying to do the Dwayne Johnson thing. He's trying to cross over. He's had a little taste of it. He's not getting anywhere near what The Rock's been able to pull off.
Is Esoteric going to ghostwrite for him?
See, that was great. I felt bad for Esoteric when Esoteric came in because he said that he ghostwrote for... we had crapped all over the rap that John Cena did. And then Esoteric was like, well, you know, I wrote that for him.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe it was the delivery.
Or maybe it was you saved the best stuff for yourself. Or maybe you grew as a rapper.
Yeah, maybe that was the case.
The only reason I'm mentioning any of this is because I haven't gotten my vinyl yet.
Yeah, all right. Well, I see.
Well, Rucker's not here.
No, he was kind of the point man between all of us. Yeah. Ruck. Well, John Cena has said that he wants to join the Fast and the Furious franchise. We'll take a number. I mean, I want to be a Marvel, right?
I want to be Star Wars.
I want to be the new Captain America when Chris Evans quits. Yeah, well, of course you do. I mean, listen, you're obviously somebody who you're getting offers right now in Hollywood. Take a number.
How many more of them are they making?
Well, they're going to do a Fast and Furious universe, kind of like they did with Marvel.
No, but I know.
Where you're going to have a movie that's just about, like, The Rock's character, one about Statham's character.
The centerpiece of the franchise, how many more of those?
Probably like two. Probably like two more. I was a little disappointed with the last one. I'll be honest. I finally saw it. I was a little disappointed.
And so I have it DVR'd. I have not seen it.
And I'm usually all in on these movies.
Interesting.
Wasn't my thing. What you got to watch, Fred, is I told you this yesterday off the air, Black Mirror. That's the show you got to get into. That's my new show. I've only watched three episodes, but it's like the Twilight Zone, and I kind of cheated, and I picked on the list like three of the top 10 that people rank it, but it doesn't matter. It's phenomenal television. It's about technology.
The Fast and the Furious.
You're still stuck on the DA stuff with the feet.
Mm-hmm.
He does love feet. Yes, that is something.
Did you say on the air yesterday, or just to me, about how pissed DA gets every time?
No, I said that on the air. Yeah, whatever we do. It's like, come on, guys. Nice joke. 5 years old.
Yeah, I don't care.
Because whenever you mention it, people start tweeting him like pictures
5 years
horse.
Old, like the old mashed potatoes I want you to step in.
Those are old mashed potatoes.
They're 5 years old. Gross. But somehow erotic.
I'm Italian.
As an Italian.
Feet.
I feel
like a meat.
Solid Italian seafood dinner is always fried.
Calabrian.
I'm Italian.
Step on the octopus.
calamari. You can say calamari, but that just sounds a little bit too American. So you got to go a little calamari.
By the way, don't let a cheetah climb into your car. Did you see that video?
Oh, man.
Yeah, guy's got iron balls.
Guy's in the front seat. Yeah. That's my life fearing. Oh, man.
Clankers of steel just to sit there and not let that. This cheetah, so this guy is on like a safari, and he's sitting there, and I guess he takes his phone and starts shooting it backwards because a cheetah jumps into the back seat. Now, its head is right by his head, right behind him, but I guess he learned that if you don't look at the cheetah or you don't make any sudden movements, then it won't look at you as a threat. So while this cheetah is gnawing on the seat next to him with these giant teeth, he's sitting there calmly just videotaping the entire thing and not moving. And finally the cheetah, after what, about like 2 minutes, finally takes off.
Longer than that. Jeez. I mean, the
iron clankers, not to freak out in that situation.
Cheetah like crawls out and like sits on the hood of his car too. It's freaky.
My wife, what is it, one of those drive-through like zoo things?
Yeah, I've been to those at the worst.
I don't know. I think this was legit.
You almost hit a yak. Well, my parents brought me.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're at one of these places, they crawl in your car, whoops.
Yeah, we had an ostrich that kept attacking our car. Okay. It followed us as we went.
And you sort of get what you deserve.
And it was pecking our window.
Right.
And ostriches are not like, oh, it's like a big bird. No, it's like a big, angry, dangerous bird.
Ostriches are no fun.
Well, ask Johnny Cash. He had to knock one out, apparently.
They throw fits. My wife won't walk the dog at night because she's afraid of coyotes, which are, I guess, in our neighborhood.
Oh, really? It's a coyote problem?
Yeah. According to her, and she took a picture of one and then got all excited because I didn't believe her. Okay. We will find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, well, here we are.
2 minutes and 30 seconds to the end of the show.
Yep.
By the way, if you want to hear that Bruins montage, Mike made a link to it. So it's at Toucher and Rich. You can go to our Twitter account or our Facebook page or 98.5thesportshub.com, and you can download it there.
Yeah, get the 98.5 the Sports Hub app.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you what an improvement it is.
It's another place you can hear it.
I can't tell you what an improvement that is. It's got the live feed of the station just like you would hear. I was listening to a Detroit station the other day on a different app, and they were playing the same PSAs over and over and over.
Used to happen on our stream. Yeah.
Now the stream is exactly like the on air.
You can hear us mess up during our commercials as well.
Maybe you. I'm known for my clear delivery and perfect pitch. And you can get all that. You can get the Twitter feeds of the people that are responsible enough to have those on there. And then you can also get podcasts. So if you enjoy the station at all, I strongly suggest you get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Thanks again to Sweet Cheeks Q for dropping off breakfast. Celebrate the home opener next Thursday at Sweet Cheeks. Visit SweetCheeksQ.com for details. And yep. Make sure to go out and get the new Esoteric or Czarface. An MF Doom album comes out today. What's up, Scott Zolak? Hi.
Where's Sweet Cheeks at down by Fenway?
It's right where, you know where the Target is? It's
yeah,
one block.
It's a big circle thing.
Yeah, it's one block down from Target.
It's by Guitar Center, right?
It's further down the road. It's further away from Fenway heading towards the hospitals. On
so
your
it's
right.
Almost, by
it's the bottom of that apartment building. On the other side of the street. It's actually on Boylston. It's on Boylston Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in front of Remy's, or it's not, is it still called Remy's? Is it called Joey's?
No, it's called some other
Tony C's. Tony C's. That's right. So if you're in front of Tony C's and the old hotel, go towards the hospital and it's on your right at
gotcha.
The end of the street. Yeah, right.
That's
there.
Good barbecue.
Damn good barbecue. It's one of my favorite restaurants in the city.
Tell you what, they had I ate the collard greens because it's Good Friday, so I just wish they brought some barbecued fish. Damn.
Yeah, I know.
Are you Catholic?
No.
What do you care?
I don't think it's
care.
It's not just a Catholic thing, is it? It's Lent?
This is Lent, man. You can recognize the death of Jesus today.
Yeah, I know, but...
Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
I understand that, but the fish on Fridays thing, I believe, is Catholic.
No meat today, boy. No. I think anybody recognizes that you don't eat today.
Really?
Yeah, it's all right. And if you don't believe, that's your choice.
No, I'm
not going to tell people.
Rich, that's a Catholic thing, isn't it?
It is a Catholic thing, but I don't know if it's exclusively a Catholic thing. I don't know.
A fish on Fridays is a Catholic thing.
Episcopalians are fairly close to Catholics in a lot of things.
There ain't nothing like a good old school Midwestern fish.
We have a different handshake, though. The Episcopalians, it's a different handshake. You take a left when they take a right.
You're what are you?
Russian Orthodox.
Okay. What is that?
It's Ukraine Orthodox, same as like Greek.
Greek Orthodox.
Christmas on that state, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, I had a friend who had to
convert. It's Eastern European Orthodox.
Yeah, he had to convert to Greek Orthodox.
Good food, Fred, downstairs at the churches. Get the halushki and the babaikis. And
I could never eat church food.
Stuffed cabbage. Oh,
freaked me out. I hated like when they had potlucks and people brought. Oh, I couldn't eat it.
What is it? Papinski's.
Babaikis. And you got the pierogies.
Yeah,
pierogies are the best. There's a little, you'll love those little half moon potato things.
Yeah, you can get out of here, Rich.
Yeah, I gotta get out of here.
Rich, you gotta go, man. Leave. I'll take care of it.
Are you going to church right now?
Take me to church. Yeah, I actually have to go.
Hey, sure. Right, very good.
There you go. Tell the big guy I said hi.
Have a good weekend.
I will. Say what's up, JC.
What's up?
You know, is there a service right now?
What's that?
The service is all day.
Pick up my family. We have to go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he was a carpenter. Like, you need something fixed. Tell him to hook you up.
See you Monday.
Stations of the Cross?
Yes. Stations of the Cross. You have to protect it. You guard it.
Yeah. I just ordered sandwiches for Passover. And then we have Easter at a hotel.
Sure. This is the first time we are not
what
going
family, out to eat. What family traditions?
The tradition of the hotel, I will stand
I know
by.
The hotel you're talking about. We looked in it, too. And it's not cheap.
No, it is not cheap.
That's too many for a family of 19, so we said, we're going to just do
it. Oh, there's 19? Oh, yeah. You can't do that. Yeah, it's a family of four. We don't go with anyone else. All right. What do you got going today?
A little sports, sports show in the midday. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We were almost entirely sports today.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do. I will mix a little UFO in there and stuff. We got some of that stuff going on. Satellites falling.
Oh, is today the day? Today the day the satellite will come crashing to Earth?
What'd you say, Dave? Dan? Space station stuff.
Space station?
Have we targeted an area yet? Is it going to hit land now?
It could come any. Apparently, the target zone reaches all the way north to New York.
It could be anywhere, from Buffalo to Australia.
That's right. The Chinese have not kind of narrowed things down at all.
Scientists are on this.
Just hit a country.
Science.
Just hit one of those lame-ass countries nobody cares about.
How about
they're never going to do anything.
Hit the middle of the ocean.
Hit some ocean liner near the equator.
No, you don't want to hit the ocean.
You get
tidal waves and stuff, man.
Okay,
impact. Seen Deep Impact?
Yes, I have.
Yes, and it was my favorite porno.
I have.
You can't run from water, bro.
No.
Jim Louth, what religion are you, if I can ask? If
He's
this
Catholic,
is not breaking any lines.
Catholic.
Okay. Nick, what religion are you,
Catholic.
If I'm not breaking any lines?
Catholic?
I'm sure I'll get the email going, from a listener.
You can't ask people what religion they are.
It's against nature.
It's your show. You talk about what you want.
Mr. Bertrand, what religion are you?
Oh, he's Catholic.
I'm a Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He's Quincy Catholic.
I can't get any
more
answers.
Catholic than that.
Because we didn't... Well, I was Methodist, and we didn't do Lent.
Yeah, I'm a Catholic. I don't do it either.
Okay. There you go.
It's good.
I wasn't instructed
to. He said with pride.
All right. So you guys are going to do sports. I take it you're going to talk about the Bruins.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to you'll have fun.
Red Sox are 0-1 with J.D. Martinez.
Yep. That's right.
Adam Jones. That's a Jones take. Yeah. Oh, my God. And we will get to some great audio on a little crossover between Judd Surratt and the one Adam Jones.
Oh,
we
I broke heard
him.
About this.
We broke him.
I heard that Jones and 98.5
the
Sports
Hub.
It's
pretty bad when the play-by-play
Judd
guys.
Yeah. I heard about this.
Pretty bad when the play-by-play guys are getting irritated by the hosts of the radio show.
Yeah, it's playoff time now, boys.
Somebody's panties are on fire.
Well, listen,
I'd say they're more in a bunch than on fire.
Well,
but
Surratt's got his. Surratt doesn't have it together. Have it together to get his own place. So. I'm deciding with Jones on this one.
Do you think Jaffe keeps him in a box downstairs?
Bring out the gimp!
I think no matter what Jaffe says,
hey boy!
it's a whole weird thing. It doesn't matter what Jeffy. It's just weird.
I think whatever Jeffy says is a lie. And he's got to be sick of him being there.
Of course he is.
He's got to be sick of him
being
there.
You're friendly. That's 2 weeks. You're someone in your house. It's 2 weeks. You're fine with it. But then there's three. Then there's four. Then there's 4 months.
That's your
Jaffe's different, though. Jaffe's different. He's not as jaded as the rest of us. He's not as angry as the rest of us.
I think you'd be surprised. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah?
I've known him for 20 years?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Fought a bear. Okay. You guys enjoy
the We gotta go. We gotta do Friday show.